You are listening to Raisin Nation on Radio Werewolf.
It is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017, and you are listening to Raisin Nation on Radio Werewolf at RadioWerewolf.com. I'm your host tonight for Raisin Nation, Steven Lanzer. My co-host, Lord Goyhammer, has had some family obligations pop up, so he will not be included in the first ever Raisin Nation episode. Yeah, I know, it's kind of strange. That being said, moving on, I wanted to do some housekeeping from last week's episode to this week's episode. I have been in a lot of contact with Miss Vex Steele of the WAU, and we are excited to say we are working on some pretty neat projects that are coming down the pipe. I'm pretty excited about it. Anytime and every time I get a chance to work with the WAU, I'm very, very humbled and pleased to do so. I think they're a great organization. And I love to do what I can to help promote that organization. So we do have some projects on the horizon, and I'm very excited about them. It has been a very crazy week. That being said, I was kind of all over the place as far as content goes. We hadn't even nailed down any specific topics. But funny enough, just a couple weird things that have happened to me the last couple days. I've been having really weird conversations with my kids about things that have just been popping up, and you know, in the media or you know, just things in the movement or things going on in the world, you know, just conversations with kids you normally have that are just, you know, just sometimes take a weird twist. So me and my oldest daughter were going up one of the main avenues here on the south side. And all of a sudden she turns to me and she goes, "Oh no." I said, "What?" And she goes, "Look." And to the right of the street near a bus stop, convenient enough, there was a group of two or three people, and they were protesting. Now, what they were protesting, I have no idea. I couldn't even start to tell you. It absolutely made no sense to me. None of their signs or flags or things had any kind of, like, direction. They were, like, protesting for peace and this and that, and none of them were anti-Trump, per se. None of them, you know, none of them had any kind of real direction. So I really couldn't pinpoint what these people were trying to protest. They had a couple peace flags and, you know, just your general kind of burnout hippie kind of crap. But the funny thing, well, not funny, but one of the flags I actually did get offended by was one of the flags they were waving was a BLM flag. It said Black Lives Matter on it. So I was like, okay. So what you're going to hear next is just a short little confrontation that I had with the protesters. It only lasted a couple seconds. My daughter was, I don't know if she was more worried than embarrassed. I'm not sure. But I pulled over at the intersection and I had a couple of things to say to them. Let's listen to this clip now. My daughter was actually nice and nice enough, and I guess brave enough to record a transaction. This isn't the first time that she's done such a thing. We've had other run-ins with other people in the neighborhood and around town where she's recorded incidences or weird shouting matches I've gotten into with people. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I'll have to reflect on that later. But most of it's usually lighthearted, and it's always a situation where we pretty much always have the upper hand because the opposing side is weak or in a position where they really can't do anything. So anywho, with that being said, let's take a listen to this short audio clip of me confronting these worthless fucking protesters real quick. It's pretty funny.
Black Lives Matter is domestic terrorism, communist shit! Fuck you, commie scumbags!
So in case you really couldn't tell what was being said, I pulled over and gave him a piece of my mind. That part was pretty audibly clear. You could hear that really easily enough, me shouting at them. But funny enough, the big fat like fucking Mexican guy that was sitting on the bench waving the BLM flag, his response to me was, "I love you," which I don't understand. It kind of took me kind of aback because I really wasn't expecting that kind of reaction from him, and I guess that maybe that was his point. And then when I made my second statement, I noticed that the other protester was like this older lady, like a burnout hippie, like, you know, just a older, almost like grandma. And she was getting kind of freaked out by the expression on her face. And she just said thank you at the end of my rant, my little short rant. So there you go. Yeah, I did that a couple weeks ago. We were going to include it in some previous show. I just really couldn't find it a home for it. And it's just weird. And I don't know what kind of statement I'm trying to make with that. I don't know. I'm just entertaining myself at this point. I mean, let's be honest. So, like I said, just to recap here, you know, doing some really great work at the WAU. It's going to be coming up. Some projects I'm going to be working on. Yeah, yelling at Milwaukee commies on the street on a Saturday morning. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Another follow-up I wanted to touch base on tonight was a story I either covered on Race and Nation. I think it was on Race and Nation a couple episodes ago. It was concerning the ex-SS commander, Michael Karkuk, out of Minnesota. They've been harassing this guy for years, and they've been trying to push extradition orders through the U.S. to get him back to Poland. This started really heavily in March, I think, when we started, like, talking about it. And according to a May 17 bullshit Fox News story, looks like Polish prosecutors say they are working on a request for the extradition from the U.S. of a Minnesota man they accuse of participating in a World War II massacre. The Associated Press had previously identified the man as 98-year-old Michael Karkuk, an ex-commander in an SS-led Nazi unit that burned Polish villages and killed civilians during the war. Prosecutor Robert Janecki of Poland's National Remembrance Institute, take note of that, we're going to look up that in a minute, told the Associated Press on Wednesday that the extradition request will be sent to the U.S. Department soon, however declined to specify when. There must be some kind of problem with this extradition, because they've been bullshit talking about this for the last couple months. They think if they're going to fucking pull the trigger, they're going to pull the trigger. And I still don't understand how it's fucking lawful for some fucking other country just to come fucking waltzy waltz into the States and say, yeah, we think you're a Nazi commander, so just pack up your shit and we're going to haul you over to fucking Poland and try you as a war criminal. Really? Where's the fucking due process in that shit? Isn't that the case? Couldn't you pretty much go to any 80 to 90-year-old living German in America at this point and just accuse them of being a fucking war criminal and ship them back to Europe? How convenient would that be? Let's think about how much fucking money the government would save not having to pay Social Security for all those fuckers once they got extradited to Poland and all hung for fucking being war criminals. What the fuck? Last month, Poland asked U.S. justice authorities for assistance. So now you have Poland asking U.S. justice authorities for assistance in having Karkuk medically examined to make sure he can take part in court proceedings. Karkuk family denies he was involved in any war crimes. You gotta fucking love the Juice style on this. I mean, they don't miss a fucking beat. I took a second just to take a look at what the internet could spew out on this poor bastard. And he's got his own fucking Wikipedia page. I mean, who the fuck doesn't these days, right? And that's another subject I want to touch on in a little bit. But he's got his own fucking Wikipedia page. So basically, he's already been fucking tried and found guilty in the fucking Banana Republic fucking court, which is the fucking internet at this point. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, the poor bastard's in his 90s, got his own fucking Wikipedia page, just fucking, you know, already fucking condemning him as a war criminal. Man, that's your fucking justice right there. Again, I have to ask, what's stopping any government or any UN entity saying, okay, you were in Germany during the war. You must be a war criminal. Let's haul your ass over to Germany and fucking Poland and try you. What's going to stop them from doing that? Apparently nothing. I mean, now we're getting the U.S. Department to assist. I mean, should we just fucking hang them for you and save you the fucking trouble, Poland? Fuck you. I mean, they're giving this poor bastard a hard time. It's like, okay, well, he was part of the Axis fucking infantry. He was part of the Axis powers. It was after the war. Anyone in the fucking Wehrmacht was pretty much marked for fucking death or going to the fucking Allied-ran concentration camps where you could fucking starve to death. Nobody wants to talk about that shit. That's not covered. But so this guy fucking immigrates, finds a way into the States. Of course he's going to lie about his background. Of course he's going to fucking try to fucking, you know, blend in and whatever. But since then, has he been fucking, you know, has he been doing any quote-unquote fucking war crimes? Or has he been a fucking decent fucking working class citizen of the United States paying his taxes and working and keeping to himself? I mean, it kind of deflates your fucking theory that we're all fucking horrible fucking, you know, monsters, if you will. If we're like the people who basically are pretty much end up being the better neighbors in the fucking neighborhood. Like I said in the beginning when I started covering this, this is nothing but a witch hunt. It's absolutely just a fucking witch hunt. I feel for the gentleman's family because him being in his 90s, how much coherence and ability does he have to get around, defend himself, speak, get to court, this, that, and the other? I mean, the toll's being taken on his poor family and their family name that nobody gives a shit about. It's a horrible situation. And I've said this before, I'm going to be thankful to a degree and sad when these Axis vets, if you will, finally do pass in, you know, onto death. Because they're literally being prosecuted, persecuted, lied about to no end. To fucking fuel the Jewish fucking lie. That it's proof. I mean, that's exactly the problem. Also, according to the fucking Wikipedia page, I don't understand why they keep pressing on this guy. The story I just read was literally pushed out of the ass of Fox News on May 17th. According to the fucking Wikipedia page, In July of 2015, the investigation was shelved due to Karkut being deemed not fit to stand trial. In March 2017, when we started covering this story, the Polish government announced it would be seeking the extradition of an individual known as Michael K. from the United States in connection with crimes committed during World War II. The Associated Press, Jews, subsequently reported that they had identified this individual to be the same person as Karkut. On what fucking proof? They have absolutely not supplied the family or this gentleman any layer of fucking truth or evidence. This is, like I said, this is a fucking banana fucking Republic court bullshit. And as far as polling goes, you need to fucking get over yourself and that fucking horrible white guilt you got going on, or you're about to get ass fucked just as bad as Germany's getting ass fucked right now. This whole Institute of National Remembrance crap, I took a second just to look it up, and of course I got kicked up over to Jewipedia. And it says that it's a commission for the prosecution of crimes against the Polish nation, which basically means a bunch of Jews getting together and tracking down fucking Nazis. The IPN investigates both Nazi and communist crimes. Ha! Communist crimes! When have you ever heard in the media about the prosecution of fucking communist crimes in the war? It's barely even spoken about. It's barely even spoken about. When does that ever happen? IPN investigates both Nazi and communist crimes committed in Poland between 1939 and the revolution of 1989. Documents its finding and disseminates the results of its investigations to the public. Really? So you're releasing the information to the public? You're not releasing anything to the public. You're literally just fucking speculating and throwing accusations at people and then forcing those governments to extradite. That's what you're doing. The Institute was established by the Polish Parliament Jews on December 18, 1998. It began its Jewish activities on July 1, 2000. During its first 15 years following its inception, they've collected over 90 kilometers of archives, released 1,700 publications, organized 403 exhibits, held 817 conferences. Oh, I bet you those are joyous. And launched 30 educational internet portals. So they're spreading their fucking jury just wherever they can. In the same period, the Institute researchers held interviews with over 103,000 witnesses and interrogated 508 individuals. Interrogated! They used the word interrogation! 508 individuals charged with criminal offenses, leading to 130 sentences. 137 sentences by the courts of justice. So this ain't a fucking National Remembrance Institute. This is a goddamn prosecution arm of the fucking Jew is what it is. Unchecked and unfucking challenged. This is a fucking dangerous entity with way too much fucking power. According to a new law which went into effect on March 15, 2007, IPN was to be mandated to carry out lustration procedures prescribed by Polish law. However, key articles of that law were judged unconstitutional by Poland's Constitutional Court on May 11, 2017. So the role of the IPN in the lustration process is at present unclear. So again, their role, what they're doing is even, like again, like I said, unchecked, unchallenged. The IPN is a founding member of the Platform of European Memory and Conscious Organization. Well, geez, now I need to know what that is. Fuck, I love the fucking little thread you pull on jury on Wikipedia and how it just fucking just comes undone like a cheap sweater, and at the end of it, you got some dirty, stinking fucking kike. So the Platform of European Memory and Conscious Organization. I'm going to say that again, because that's making my brain hurt just fucking thinking about this. The Platform of European Memory and Conscience Organization. Let's take a look, shall we? The Platform of European Memory and Conscience is an educational project of the European Union. Haha, I gotta love that. Bringing together government institutions and NGOs from EU countries active in research, documentation, awareness raising, and education about the crimes of totalitarian regimes. Yeah, totalitarian regimes like the Jew fucking, like the Jews, Its membership includes 55 government agencies, 13 EU member states, and, of course, the United States. Of course, we would be part of that. The platform has offices in Prague and Brussels. So basically, this is just a goddamn think tank for them to push agendas like the one being done by the INR to come up with little organizations to get around the constitutions of particular countries. That's what the EU is all about anyways. It's about collectively saying, fuck all that, and we want to do what we want. We have this overreach, and we have this power. We're going to do it. It's just an arm of that, is from what I remember. The motto of the of their platform is democracy matters. Hey, everybody, democracy matters. Put that on a goddamn banner, you fucking fag. Ah, fuck, I can't take any more of this. This is just making me fucking sick. That being said, during my rant here, I did a little bit of research, and I came across a little bit more thorough story from the DailyMail.com. You know, the fucking British fucking cuck a media source. It's still a little bit more broader spectrum than, say, your Fox News bullshit. That's super cucky. Yeah, they basically, Poland has admitted that they want him extradited back to Poland so he can face trial for the crimes before he dies. They want to just try him regardless before he obviously dies. So they're still pushing on this. What I don't understand is none of the story or the situation's changed since March to now, which it doesn't seriously surprise me, considering that everything that has to do with the federal government is completely so inefficient and ineffective that I'm surprised that it doesn't surprise me that they're regenerating the story just to obviously stoke the fire. They're just pushing the story out just to get everybody's interest peaked back up. Kharkov's family in Minneapolis says he suffers from Alzheimer's disease, which doesn't surprise me. The family denies Kharkov was involved in any war crimes. Kharkov's son, Andrea Kharkov, reiterated in March that his father is innocent of any war crimes and called on the judge to release any evidence that may implicate his father. Informed of the arrest warrant, he asked rhetorically, do they have any evidence on which to base that? We call on the judge to release all evidence that he has that supports this unjust, inappropriate, and immoral action, he says. Andrea Kharkov also pointed out German prosecutors declined in 2015 to seek his father's extradition, concluding he was unfit to stand trial. German prosecutors shelved their own war crimes investigation of Kharkov in 2015, as I stated earlier, after concluding that he wasn't fit for trial. Kharkov's attorney refused to allow a medical expert from Germany, but instead provided medical documentation from doctors at the geriatric hospital in the U.S. where he's been treated. Munich prosecutors called the assessments, which covered the span of a year and was evaluated by German medical expert, comprehensive. The evidence was assessed by Germany's Special Federal Prosecutors Unit, which concluded there was enough for state prosecutors to pursue murder charges against Kharkov. Okay, if that's the case, once again, are they not fucking extraditing them if that's the case? Like I said, once you pull the thread and you see where what's really behind all this, it's really scary and sickening. And I go back and forth on both where this leads to. The powers that are involved in where this leads to, you know, EU fucking shadow government, if you will, power to literally reach across the ocean and pick you out of a crowd and say, you're guilty. Come face your punishment. That's what they're saying. Like I said, I'm kind of thankful and saddened when one sees brave men and women, you know, move on from this world because they have been treated completely unfair. And it's demoralizing, gross, and it's sickening. And it's a page out of the Jew Book 101. But just reflecting on it for a second, it just makes, like I said, it makes me sick how they have that much power. And it really shows you, once again, as Trump and his administration is finding out, who really is running the fucking country, who is running the show. Who is the man behind the curtain, like I like to say? It's the fucking Jew. It is the fucking Jew. The only thing I want to end the Michael Kharkov thing with is another thing that's happening out of Poland. This is how ridiculous Banana Republic this fucking place has become. Just a fucking stain, really, on white Europe at this point. Some of the shit that's coming out of Poland is absolutely fucking ridiculous. And, of course, they're being fucking, you know, led by the fucking Jew in the EU. So apparently they're being criticized for not having enough abortions, along with Poland's several Western nations for its restrictive abortion laws, calling on the mostly Roman Catholic nation to give women the right to safe and legal abortions. They also highlighted in the same meeting a rising xenophobic atmosphere that has been resulted in more crimes against foreigners. There hasn't been more crimes against foreigners. There are foreigners committing crimes against the fucking Polish people. That's happening. That's happening all over Europe. We all know that. But I think it's totally fucked up and obvious, once again, the Jew sticking its head out into the light, criticizing Poland's mostly Roman Catholic background of not performing abortions to force them to levy and fucking relax those fucking laws so they can kill all their own all they want and in the meantime import replacements for, you know, your fucking white indigenous fucking European. Isn't that goddamn special? Fuck! So, like I said, one thread just led to another. I want to touch base on that. That's fucking seriously fucking gross. And everything that's wrong with the EU, everything that's wrong with Europe, and I really don't see a way out for them. I hope they can find one. I don't know how they're going to do it. Like I said, we seem to, you know, be pushed against the wall, and at the last minute, we turn things around. And it reminds me of a David Duke tweet I ran into a couple days ago, and it said, "The enemies of our people tear down monuments, but when our people are pushed into a corner, they tear down nations. Keep pushing." And I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree with that statement. And I hope that fire is still somewhat burning in the European mail. I don't see a lot of it lately. Hopefully they will wake up and will come fruition. The only thing I really wanted to leave off with, I was going to kind of go into a little more than I did, but kind of had the piss taken out of my cell with this whole Poland thing and Michael Karkuk and all this other shit. As you know, I've been having an off and on love-hate relationship with Facebook and social media in general. A lot of us, you know, use aliases, you know, and we try to, you know, do things through firewalls and VPNs and do pretty much you can to get off the grid as much as you can to stay away from, you know, Zog's fucking surveillance to a degree. But I don't know if the younger generation really understands this. I don't see a lot of, like, effort being put into to stay anonymous. And I know even some of us on the network here don't bother staying anonymous. But, you know, Steven Lanzer isn't Steven Lanzer. And the Lord Goyhammer is definitely not Lord Goyhammer. Vex Steel's not Vex Steel, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Some of us choose to use our real name. Some of us don't. I choose not to because the situation sometimes presents itself where you get doxxed. And I'm not talking like embarrassing like shit like... I'm not talking about stuff that you should be doxxed for, like having a fucking in-closet Jew wife or some shit like that one idiot had. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Antifa or some fucking enemy of our movement finding out who you are and attempting to ruin your life. And that's happening a lot more than's being reported in the news. I've read two articles just today. One was about Richard Spencer. Of course, he's a little bit more well-known than your average fucking Joe on the street as far as white nationalism goes. He was actually harassed by himself again. No security. I still don't fucking understand that. At a gym where he normally works out, and this woman, I guess, had set him up because she had somebody take pictures of the entire incident, but had confronted him at the gym, which I find very alarming on a lot of different levels. First, for Richard Spencer, don't know if some crazy fucker's going to come up to you and shoot you. Don't say it can't happen. It could fucking happen, okay? And you're still walking around with no fucking security. And this woman literally felt like she had the right to harass Richard Spencer in this, you know, public place. Not public, it's a private gym membership, whatever. But the flip of that is, and I actually commented on this stupid bitch's fucking Twitter account, be careful who the fuck you step to. Again, this goes back to the previous conversation I had about a lot of us white nationalists being armed. Now, apparently, Richard Spencer, he ain't fucking armed, but a lot of us are. Now, I don't know if I would work out with a sidearm. Maybe if I was Richard Spencer, I'd probably goddamn at least think about it. My point being is, they're again, the left and these self-righteous social justice fuckfaces are getting ballsy. They're walking up to people and starting shit with them. So, like I said, Richard Spencer needs to worry about what may happen to him. what happens to the local, you know, ex-skinhead that you find out lives down the street from you and you want to harass him? It can turn out totally different for you. What these fucking leftists need to think about. Again, big difference between these fucking patriot Trumpers walking around with sticks and your racially aware, possibly racially active white nationalists. Most of those people are armed. You start shit with them, it may turn bad for you very, very, very quickly. And on the flip side of that, what I'm more concerned about is your personal safety, my personal safety, my family's personal safety. Because I won't hesitate, and I can't be alone in that. I can't be alone in that. I hope I'm not alone in that. Again, you know, trying to stay anonymous, I believe, is important. I know some of us at the network don't, and that's fine. That, you know, Godspeed to them. I don't condemn anybody. I'm not trying to change anyone's mind here. But I think it's important. The other story I ran into was about some New York City paramedic lieutenant who was, you know, basically putting some real mild tweets on Twitter about race and making fun of people. Someone were in bad taste. He's making fun of fucking handicapped people and shit. The guy just sounded like a general fucking asshole. I don't think he was like a white nationalist. He just sounded like a dick. But anyways, they fucking ousted his ass. He lost his fucking job. That's what I'm talking about. Your livelihood, your safety. Not only that, your children and wife's safety, other family members. It's something you should think about. I know a lot of us do. I totally support it. The reason I bring in this up, and you're probably like, why the hell is he bringing this up? Somebody I know on Facebook accidentally had their real identity like shown to light, like it was in a post. I won't get into specifics, but all I'm asking you guys to do is be really fucking careful out there. If you don't want your fucking real name being used out there, don't fucking use it. You know, don't ever fucking use it. This person started freaking out a little bit. And there's been measures since then to kind of make sure that that doesn't happen again. But man, I'm telling you guys got to be careful out there. And with that, I think I want to close the show. I know it's a little bit of a short show, but that's what happens when you're flying solo. You don't get the full measure of what Race and Nation could be, LG. So hopefully he'll be able to make it on next week's show. Speaking of fucking worthless social media, if you want to get a hold of us, you can always get a hold of us at raceandnation@gmx.com, raceandnation@gmx.com, and if interested in listening to our show, past shows, downloading them, we do have a SoundCloud account that we haven't been kicked off of yet. Go to SoundCloud, put in Race and Nation, should run into us. You'll know it when you see it. Other than that, I want to say a big hells to Dion, Vex Steel, Lord Goyhammer, Epic, and everyone else in the Race and Nation family, hail victory. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. Don't believe them.
This editorial podcast is a general discussion of certain aspects of human and political dynamics. It does not advocate, pledge, or incite any individual or group to commit unlawful acts of violence against anyone.
Fuck 'em!